Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church, Enugu.
Father, we thank you. We bless your name, Abba, Father. Thank you that you are enough. Thank you, Lord. The 8+ billion people on earth can drink, but you are overflowing enough. We give thanks. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. 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 We live because He lives. We give thanks. Blessed be God forevermore. In the name of Jesus, Lord, this moment we ask that you speak to our hearts. Lord, thank you for utterance. Thank you for eyes that see. Thank you for ears that hear. Lord, think through my mind and speak through my lips. In the name of Jesus, that you grant the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened. Oh, that we may know the hope to which you have called us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for that word that is life. The entrance of the word giveth light. We receive it this morning in the name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, say, give a high five to your neighbor. Say, welcome to church. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, it's not a fight, Abby. You give a high five with a smile, don't you think so? So can we do that again? With a smile this time. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. God is good. And all the time, the Lord is good. How many people have entered 2026? Amen. Praise God. Because I just keep saying something I want to say next year. I'm saying this year. God is good. So if maybe you are still in 2025, some of us are already in 2026. But wherever you are, God is good. Amen. Amen. Psalms 18, I want us to read that together. Just to verse 6. Psalms 18, are we there? And put that up in New King James, please. All right, let's read together, everybody. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Amen. We serve a God who hears. We serve a God who hears. Sometimes we spend enough time talking to more people than we spend talking to God, the one who hears and that can actually do something about the situation. Amen. Say, my God hears. He hears. He hears me. Praise God forevermore. You see, this psalm we read was written by David. David wrote the psalm and sang it after the Lord delivered him from his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So of course, when you read the scriptures, you see the story of how Saul was after his life. So that psalm, that song came from a season of trials. From a season of, you know, imagine every day you wake up, you know that somebody's after your life actively. And no, it's not like one person in your office. He's the king of your house. He's the king of the country where you live in. So the entire army, the entire thing that is available to him, everything he needs to catch you is there. I mean, he's the GCFR. He's the grand commander of all the armed forces. He's after your life. You know, when we just read it, it seemed like it's just some easy stuff. But it wasn't really. He woke up every day with his life on his teeth. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you see, through this season of trial, a man sang a song. He could sing. He could sing. Today, I'm talking on rejoicing in trials. Praise the Lord. Trials are times when people want everybody to understand that it's a trying time. Be understanding. Bear with me. I mean, I want to be depressed for quite some. Just let me be angry for some time. But I want to read James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4. We're going to read quite a number of scriptures. And I'm trusting the Lord that by the time we're done, you will be truly, 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 truly rejoicing for everything you've ever faced. Amen. Glory to God. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Media, if you'll be kind, I'd appreciate that. Verse 2, please. Let's read together. My brethren. So he was talking to brothers. Amen? You know, when you hear my brethren, it's people of the same womb. You know, the exhortation, the word of exhortation that Mr. Jedi was giving. So it's not like we're in the same church. It's not like brethren is a church word. It's not though. It's that these people came from the same belly, the same womb. You know how your blood brother? That is what the word brethren means. Because we came from the same blood source, don't you think so? The same bloodline. All right, let's read together. My brethren. Do you want to do stand up, sit down? Oh yeah, give it a try again. Let's go. More like it. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You'll be saying, pardon? Say that again. You are following. Lord, do you know what you're saying? I don't think I understand it. I need to read that again. Count it all joy. Okay, the next verse. Knowing. There's a knowing that helps you count it all joy. What's that knowing? That the testing of your faith produces patience. So there is something that the trial of your faith produces, and it's for your good. That thing is producing is for your good, is for you. It says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Can you put that up in Message Translation, please? Message Translation. Thank you, Father. Oh, what a God we have. Let's read. So don't try to get out. No, sorry. Get to verse 2. Get to verse 2, please. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Was it not a gift? Are you seeing what I'm saying? Consider it sheer gift, like, you know, just out of, you know, sheer gift. Can you imagine that? When tests is in plural and challenges come at you, not from one place, from all sides. It says, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Somebody's faith needs to show its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well developed, not deficient in any way. So how to arrive at not being deficient in any way is successfully going through tests, trials, challenges. Who wants to be deficient in any way? Nobody, right? But who does not want trials, tests, challenges? Praise the Lord. Amen. It's amazing, right? First Peter chapter 1, 6 to 7. First Peter chapter 1. Just enjoy the scripture with me. Is it not interesting? So let's just enjoy reading the Bible. I mean, it's beautiful. Put message translation. I will read the New King James. Just put it in message translation. It says, in this, verse 6, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Go ahead. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through the suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, you know what is he wrap up, Abby? When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. Is your faith, not those things you attained. Is your faith, not those things you kept awake praying all night to get. It is your faith that he will present. That is the evidence of Jesus' victory. Can you think about that? So the issue is the faith. Not the thing you are using the faith for. Is the faith being refined, being made genuine, being purified. He says, not the gold. Gold goes through fire, isn't it? But he says, not that gold, not your gold that you send through fire to purify. It's your faith we are talking about here. That's amazing. That the genuineness of your faith, being much precious than anything else, than gold, which, by the way, perishes, may be found to praise, found to honor, glory in the revelation, that is put on display as evidence of his victory. 2 Corinthians, okay, let's read Romans first. Romans chapter 5, 3 to 5. Romans chapter 5, 3 to 5. Romans 5, 3 to 5. Are you enjoying scriptures? Amen. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Of course, let me read from verse 1 to, for context 6. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? You have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. He says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Are you seeing James chapter 1 verse 2 again? Tribulation produces what? Perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. There is that which it produces. Amen. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Say, there is something my test produces for me. Say that. My tests and trials produces perseverance for me. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Just read that too. Apostle Paul was speaking and he said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. Is working for us. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know, if you define Paul's light affliction, you know that in the real sense of English, there's nothing light about it. But in view of the joy set before him, it is a light affliction. Do you understand? Light affliction, which is but for a moment. A moment. is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal, now something that is that has weight of glory. Just follow me. Amen. It's so beautiful. You see, our trials are meant to leave us better than they met us. Did you hear that? The trials you face, every trial you ever face, is meant to leave you better than it met you. It should be as it's leaving, be like, who sent me there? Do you understand? So now I can't even take two twice of myself and go back. Because this person is now doubly secure. Praise God. Hallelujah. So when trials come, it's not, Lord, what have I done? Why did I deserve this? Lord, why me? Lord, why me? Lord, the Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. Glory to God. If a little child wants to climb here, maybe a child that just starts walking, you will see the child lay hand on the ground first and then start trying to lift his feet. In 2 months' time, look at that child. He will not still be doing like this. He will have mastered how to climb. There is a mastering process. There is a process to everything God has purposed and prepared for you to do in this life or for you to attain. Hallelujah. If your neighbor is pressing their phone, please bring it and donate for me here. Just put it on the altar. It's a seed. Seed. Amen? So be your neighbor's keeper. All right? Glory to God. Amen. You know, when the moment you left your house and you came here, God has something for you. So, but you can choose to take it or not. Do you understand? You can choose to receive it or go back the same. But as the Lord lives and as he helps me, I will not let you not take it. At least not today. Praise the Lord. Amen. What did I say? Trials are meant to leave us better than they met us. You know, it's so beautiful. The Bible says that for the righteous man may fall 7 times. The beautiful thing is that righteous person will rise again. You know, when we read that scripture, it feels like the person just falls and stays down and keep falling while on the ground and then rises on the 7th time. That's not what the Bible is saying. A person who is lying down on the ground cannot fall. Amen? You can't fall now. If I'm lying down here now, where am I falling to? I have to roll. Okay, now I'm even up. If I'm lying here, I can only roll to the end of the building and roll back. There's no falling. I'm already down. But the righteous person is standing. Then you will fall. But it says, you will come again up. Now, because you come again up, there are chances of falling again. But he's not afraid of your falling again. Why? Even although you fall 7 times, there is a rising again. But he said, it's not so with the wicked. As soon as they fall, all their teeth are broke. Do you understand? So it tells you that no matter what you face, you are coming out of it. Do you understand? No matter the trials, the challenge, no matter what Satan throws at you, the righteous is standing back up. You will not remain down. No, you are not remaining down. Your portion is standing. Do you understand? Your portion, your state is a standing upright position. So the fall is a temporal situation. Because he must rise, although it be 7 times. Glory to God. There's a standing up for you. It's amazing how the Lord has secured the believer. He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. No doubt there are many. No doubt there are many. But the Lord God Almighty, no matter how many the afflictions are, delivers him from all of them. Not some of them. All of it. So if you know that there is deliverance from all, if you understand that everything you ever face in this life, there's already deliverance. Remember what we said last week? We are what? Over. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You already overcame. We overcame us. Hallelujah.
So whatever you are going to face, there's already deliverance there. That is, you are facing that thing, moving to deliverance. Deliverance is already there, secured, waiting for you to arrive. So imagine that gold is being purified. You are the goldsmith, right? Or the refiner. You already know what awaits that gold at the end of the purification process, right? So the gold is the one in the fire wondering, what is going on in my life? Can you just leave me alone? Can you just let me be? But the one who is purifying it knows what awaits it at the end of that purifying process. So you now, like now we know, if you see that they're preferring gold, you be like, you just be imagining how this gold will now be after it is done with this process. You be imagining. So even if the gold is crying, say, you don't even know what you're going to become after now. You'll be so fine, you know, your value will just skyrocket. Imagine being 24 carats. Just wait some more. You'll be telling it. In the same way, men are made from the process. Men became from becoming. Men are made, Jesus help me. Men became from becoming. Men became from becoming. We became from becoming. Is my English confusing you? You know that there is a place you are going. That is, God is making you. To say now, I became, or let's say governor of Enugu State is now the governor. So he became the governor of Enugu State through a becoming of different things he had to go through, different things he had to deal with, different challenges, different court cases. So men became from becoming. Becoming is the trials, the tribulations, the challenges that now leads to he became. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. See, your life is so beautiful, though. You wake up every morning. You know this song that he's the singer? When the enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said, you are mine. When the enemy thought he had me, but Jesus says, you are mine. Is your reality. The enemy is just putting studs all over the place, thinking that, you know, you just hit one and you will fall. He didn't know that a righteous man will fall 7 times, but will rise again. Jesus says, you are mine. You are mine. So what that means is, what can snatch you away from the Lord's hands? What can keep you down if the one who you belong is standing? If the one whom you belong to is standing and you are seated with him, what will keep you down? What will keep you down? What will keep you down? Think about it. You are seated high above with Christ. And the one that is above does what? Does what? Overcomes all. You are seated above all. Praise God forevermore. You know, I just thinking and meditating through scriptures, it just seemed to me that, you know, as a matter of fact, that the hard lives, harsh situations, life-threatening situations has a way of just bringing men to a point of seeing the Lord. There's that point of having a revelation of a personality of God. So a man like Abraham went up the mountain going to kill his son who he waited 100 years to have. If that's not some trial, I don't know what is. No, but he was going to give that son up. He was going to kill that child. It was the greatest trial of his faith. But you know, in that very moment, he got a revelation of God like the Hill City sang today, Jireh. That name was not there before then. Hallelujah. It was revealed from the place of trial. Glory to God. He said, Jireh, the God who provides. Hallelujah. The same thing with Hagar. Now we hear, Arai, 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 Arai. Do you know how the name Elroy came? The God who sees me. No, he came from a woman who laid her child there and moved to another side. I don't want to see him die. She was crying, grieving her son, who she's hearing crying. Because she already felt, my child will die. No food, no water. It was at that moment that the Lord heard the voice of the child and said, Auntie, this your tears is stopping you from seeing clearly. Clean your face first. Many of us, we cry so much we don't see. Hallelujah. We complain so much we stop seeing. There is the joy set before you that you have to see through the trials. Don't you understand? Jesus had to see that joy set before him. That's how he received strength to endure. There's somewhere, there's an end to this thing. Your story doesn't end like that. It doesn't end in that thing. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Sometimes when you're going through something, you feel like that's the end of the world. But you see, I believe there is nothing any human being will face in this world like what Jesus faced. Nothing, anybody. So if he could see some joy, if he could look beyond the prevailing situation and see joy, I hope you know that chaos, the whole painful process, buffered your salvation. So that means that without those painful things we read and how it happened, no salvation. Do you understand? So the painful thing that happened buffered something. Until tomorrow, until Jesus comes, the life of Christ, we are still preaching it. Men are still turning. Men are still being changed. Lives are still being transformed because a man dared to endure trial. Do you understand? Somebody dared to endure something. So there are things you are going through. It's not about you. It's that you need to endure something for another person. You need to go through some things for another person. The women program we went, she was, the mommy and was so just saying, she said, because now, she's a widow now, that if her husband didn't die, she may not have understood, may not have widows to call and they will answer her. But because now, 1,000 widows. But because now, the husband had gone to be with Jesus. So, everything God has called her to do, she has to do it. More than that, she cannot tell a widow, I'm also a widow, Jesus is good. And the person understands what she's saying. Do you understand? The person can understand what she's saying because the path you walked is the very path I am also walking. The pain you felt is the pain I'm feeling right now. So sometimes the fire you go through is so you can refine another. Your life is beyond yourself. No, God is not about you now. Think about you. Your life is too small to be centered around you. Think. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's that Jesus wants to reach the world. He wants to reach a sphere of this life through you. So would you let him? He has been touched by every pain. So there are people he has sent because of you. There are people, what you're going through right now, you don't know why, right? But God knows that there is a mess. There are messy people he's sending your way. There are dirty people only you can wash by the same blood you have been washed with. Glory to God. I said it's not about you. Oh, it's not about you. It's paining you now. It's paining you there. It's paining you the other place. You can now instruct somebody in righteousness. So don't give up. So imagine Abraham talking to somebody who is looking for the fruit. Or Sarah. And maybe you're even still in your 40s. You'd be like, only 40. It's not only 40. Ah, sweetheart, come and sit down. Let me, do you understand? And you will not be doing, Mommy Sarah, you say what? You say, your womb has died. Yes, now. So you're not even talking about menopause. Menogene. Who is talking about? No, menopause is 20. Menopause has finished since. It's not even what we're talking about. We're saying that everything has died. So how did you even feel like even going to, you know, that thing? How did you even feel like that? Then when I start talking about getting pregnant and then imagining yourself at that old age, I said 90. Brethren, should be you will listen, have you know this? Faith will jump from your heart. Be like, if you can have it, my own is a walkover. Suddenly, 40 means nothing. Suddenly, menopause means nothing. Suddenly, what you thought is not happening means nothing. Hallelujah. See, God loves these people, the people, his people so much that there will always be a Jesus who will save the world. You didn't get that? Remember, as he is, so are we in this world. I said there will always be a Jesus, you, that will save a set of people. And what Jesus went through, we don't need now to go through it. Do you understand? Because there's already a comfort of Jesus. You already know that there's an end. You're walking in his victory. In his victory. Glory to Jesus. Amen. Forgive me today. God have mercy on me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So do I have people that have had revelations of the Lord from what they've gone through? Do I have people who have a name that they call the Lord from what they've experienced? Glory to God. After I had my twins, I've shared that once, and I lay on the bed there. It felt like all my blood had been drained. I knew that God is a life-giving God. He's a life giver. The next morning, the blood that drained from me was still dripping out from the bed. And I'm alive. And I was alive. I still am alive. I could call the Lord. Lord, you are a life giver. You are my sustainer. You are my sustainer. There's a revelation you get. There is a part of Jesus, that God, that is revealed to you through storms. Suddenly, David can say, you are my fortress. Do you understand? You are my fortress. Like I said, the person that is chasing him is the one in charge of the military cantonment. But you are my fortress. You know what a fortress is? So in the midst of all of that, God is my fortress. I'm hidden in the Lord. I'm safe in him. Even though trials are all around me. Even though death smells all around me. Glory to God. You know, Samson was an answer to years of oppression by the Philistines. The people were heavily, terribly oppressed. He was an answer to prayer, to the cry of the people. The same thing with Moses. They were suffering hardship. They were in captivity, basically. But in those dark times, bettered something. Bettered something. Just look through life. You'll find that there are lots and lots of things that were bettered through storms, bettered through hardship, bettered through pain. Hallelujah. Including your salvation. Glory to God. Including your what? Salvation. Everything about you. Glory to God. Jesus was and is the answer, or is an answer to a dark and dying, chaotic world. Amen. So the darkness of the world, the whole chaos, Jesus came through that storm. Men were praying, remember. People were waiting on, when will this end? When will this light come? When will this salvation come? When will this pain cease? When will this destruction end? And then there's a light that came through that. You are also an answer to a chaotic experience going on somewhere. Hallelujah. You are also an answer. You are an answer. You are an answer. Hallelujah. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Trials are tools for becoming. Yeah, trials are tools for becoming. Jesus, who because of the joy set before him, I wrote it this way, Jesus, who because of the joy of his became, endured the process of becoming. You understand that? That's, you understand that now. Yeah. So Jesus, who the joy of his became, endured his becoming. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I'm imagining somebody who is crying and be like, ah, Lord, Lord, when is this going to end? And the Lord is saying, just another 10 degrees centigrade. Just another 100 degrees centigrade. Just be patient. Just another 100 degrees centigrade. You're almost there. You're almost there. Have you eaten rice that is not done? Just is almost at the brink of dawning. Amen. Do you enjoy that kind of rice? No, see, unless the hunger, you know it's eat or die. You will not eat it. You will not enjoy it. You can just, hi, who cook this kind of rice? You try the meat. The meat is, well, you leave the rice. Abi? Or you carry it home and do what? Cook it done. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But you don't enjoy it. Even if it's remaining 2 degrees centigrade to be done. Do you get? So, but as soon as it's done, just like yam, if it's not done, you're like, God. Or the worst still, beans. Amen? You love beans, so, but they will give you the one that is half done. You'll be abusing the person in your mind. Do you understand? See here, God is preparing you. I'm not saying God sends all trials or God sends those things to, but I'm saying that, you know, the way it is written of Jesus, that if the enemy knew, if Satan knew, this thing he came at Jesus for, he wouldn't have tried it. Because he did it, we now have Jesus is littered all over the world. Do you understand? In the same way, the things that was strong at your faith would be the very reason why you stand and save others. Do you understand? So God uses every mess, everything that you have to face. God like, I have a tool now. I have a raw material. That's a raw material. I can use it. You are saying, Lord, please deliver me. Please deliver me. Please deliver me. Remember, don't say it should end what? Abruptly. Don't say it should end fast, prematurely. You are saying, Lord, deliver me. A lot of God deliver me is, Lord, cut my testimony short. Lord, call my purification process short. Just leave me as I am. Just leave me manage as I am. Lord. That's what we say invariably without knowing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So if we take our eyes away from the becoming process, if we can take our eyes away from the trials and look, we will rejoice. If you look at what you will become, you will rejoice. If you look at where you are going, you will rejoice. See, there are things you face. You just know, in 5 years, I'll not be dealing with this matter. Do you understand? You can tell yourself, I know that in 5 years, I'm not dealing with this. So you're not imagining, for instance, you know that being in school is not easy labor. It's not like it's very sweet. There's your life is structured. You have to be in school. You have to submit to being tutored, right? So you'd be imagining, 5 years' time, or 6 years' time, depending on the course, or 7 years' time, I'm going to be a medical doctor. Oh, in 6 years' time, let me just endure this process and learn. Because in 5 years' time, I'll be a nurse. In this year's time, I will be this. There is a joy ahead of you, enabling you to endure the whole process, the whole years. So you must open your eyes and ask the Lord to help you see where you are going. Lord, what is all this going to? Where are we going? If you can see, you will rejoice. Hallelujah. The strength to get through the season of becoming comes in two things. Number one, looking unto Jesus, the one who started and will perfect your faith. Glory to God. So once your eyes stayed on Jesus and not on the trials, the tribulations you are facing, you keep your eyes from the one who will keep your faith from wavering. You will find strength to endure. Hallelujah. Number two, keep the became in view. That is, keep what the Lord is taking you through. Keep where you are going in view. Keep your became in view. And by now we understand that. See and rejoice in the joy that is set before you. Rejoice in the joy that is set before you. Scripture says, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. When you face diverse trials, count it all joy. Always remember that no matter how many your afflictions are, the Lord that you serve, who is your Father, delivers you from them all. You will never be left in the middle of a storm alone. Did you hear that? He will never leave you in the middle of a storm. He will never do that. Glory to God forevermore. You know, I read a, you know, this, there's this hymn, I trust media to help me with that. So this, what's his name? I hope I can. Horatio Spafford, I think that's what his name is, was supposed to travel with his family, his wife and four daughters. So, but for some reason, he couldn't travel with them. He had some delay. So he sent his wife and the four daughters to travel. Of course, then 18 something, traveled by sea. So while they were on the way, another vessel hit them and they sank. And the four daughters were lost in the sea. So when deliverance came, they could save only the woman in Wales. So the woman wrote her husband and the first thing she said, saved alone. Sent to her husband. So
Weeks later, the husband was going to now meet the wife where she was at. And while they were still on that sea, the captain, right? The captain of, that's what they call the captain of, now said, ah, this is the spot where that accident happened. That place where your daughters died. And then on that very journey, a hymn that we sing all the time and we just sing, especially during when somebody is going through maybe funerals, was Bethed. Years later, we're still singing it. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like seas billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. I will get the next verse. The next verse, please. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shared his soul. That was all that mattered. In the midst of it all, he has shed his blood for him. It is well. It is. So he could sing it is well. Because in the middle of the storm, he shed his blood. That was all that mattered. It is well. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is with my soul. It is well. It is well. We might as well finish it. Let's go. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thoughts. My sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. It is well, woo, with my soul. It is well. It is well. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I saw such a heartbreaking situation, you know, experience, and in the midst of it, walking through the very place the four daughters died. He's singing, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine that? You know, Pastor Poncho will say that God said to him that he misses David in the land. You know, he misses David in the world. And that's because that no matter what you do to him, he returns with worship. He returns with praise. You remember the story, how he waited on his son. He was crying. He was begging God. Bible says he was sitting down on the ground, a king. He sat flat out on the ground. Every day he's praying, Lord, save my son. Don't let him die. Keep him, save him, heal him. And the Bible says, finally the son died. And all the while he was seated, his you know, the people that in his court were trying to get him up. The king just trying to eat something. They were trying to, he would not get up. So when the child died, they were like, ah, if we now tell him, he will commit suicide. So they were just, when the king saw them, he just asked, is the child dead? So he's dead. He's dead. What did he do? Cry finish. Prayer finish. Everything finish. He stood up.
They were maybe, you know how they, when somebody stands up and there's an open grave, yeah, is he going to? He went to bed. After bed, he sat down. Please give me, look for apple for me. You know, you'd be wondering, is he okay? Has the thing touched his brain? Put aura and egusi, like somebody ate the other day. Mix the two of them, put meat, give me food. And he balanced and ate. Please bring wine for me too. Make it chilled. Mortuary standard. You'd be wondering, are you not celebrating the death of your son? No, it has happened. So through it, we worship. In fact, that's not it. Bible says he entered into the court and worshipped. Let's read it. Second Samuel 12:15. Let's put that up for me. Even though I have to look for 12:15 is from the beginning of the story, I believe. Let me try and see how to rush over that. 12:15. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Okay. Yeah. Okay, maybe let's read from here. Then on the seventh day, it came to pass that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm. Go on. 19, please. When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. So David arose. Somebody said, he arose. Somebody say, I arose. David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, changed his clothes, and went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. The same God you should have been saying, after all, you took my child. You killed my child. I begged you. I prayed. I asked. Still, this child died. Do you understand? The same God, that could have been his response. I prayed. So you pray and something goes out. Though he slays me, yet will I trust him. He is God. If when I read the scripture, I still see the mercy of God. Because I start to imagine. So David wakes up every morning and sees this child that he bore through adultery. This child you killed his father. You killed killed Uriah for. Every day you wake up, you see him. Every day you wake up, you see him. He reminds you of what you did. Do you get? So I even see the mercy of God in the death of the child. So now he can forget it very fast. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So you see that we have to learn. Our attitude towards challenges have to change. When you face stuff, understand that God is God regardless. And that the Bible says that all things, they are working for you. They are working together for you. Even that worst situation is working together for your good. Hallelujah. He went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. It doesn't make sense. Then he went to his own house. And when he requested, he asked for it. You think I was playing? I meant it though. He was asking them. When he requested, they set food before him and he ate. The next verse. Then his servant said to him, what is this that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive. But when the child died, you arose and ate food. I mean, it's not making sense, Abi. And he said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that a child may live? Go on. But now he's dead. Why should I fast? Biko, give me food. So can I bring him back again? I shall go to him. Do you see now? Do you see attitude? Me, I am going to him. In fact, I want to go where he's going. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, went into her. Shebi, you should be mourning now. Or what was in her mourn? The death of a child. Are you not reading the same Bible I'm reading? So you use the child and you are going to do something. Are you all right? You should be mourning. And went into her and lay with her. That's his favorite thing to do, Sha. So she bore a son. Amen. I beg people in advance to forgive me today, but so she bore a son and he called his name Solomon. From where? Trials. From a dark time, from grief. Solomon, who eventually became the one that sat on his throne in his place. The one that God said, this is my beloved, Jedidiah. Praise the Lord. See here, this is beautiful. This is so beautiful. In fact, let me just point it out like that. How to rejoice in trials. Number one, thanksgiving, worship, which is what, you know, you can put the scripture here. So in the face of grief, in the face of trials, he went into the house of God and he worshipped. He bowed and worshipped. After worshipping, he said, 30 December, please kill chicken. Let's do what? Let's eat. God is good. Do you understand? See that attitude. I want our attitude in TCC to be people who respond to situations with thanksgiving. No matter how tough, no matter how harsh, no matter how hard. You know, you can see something and bow your heart and say, Lord, you are good regardless. Hallelujah. And when you read through 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, it says, rejoice always. That's verse 16. Rejoice always. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. 17 says, pray without ceasing. And 18 says, give thanks. Give thanks. Continue going. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If you are in Christ Jesus, the will of God for you is to give thanks in all things. In all things. He says, rejoice always, not when you're happy. Rejoice always. And to show it is possible, Apostle Paul typified it. He lived it. Rejoice. Again, I say what? Rejoice. Even when you are in prison. Even when you are coming out of prison. Do you understand? You can rejoice. You can rejoice. Hallelujah. Are you learning something today? Glory to God. Verse number two. I said how to rejoice in trials. Number one, what? Number one, give thanks. Worship the Lord. Number two, don't take the trial as your identity. Don't define yourself by your trial. Don't say, I am barren. Do you understand? Don't say that. The Lord has said you are fruitful. So don't define yourself by your trial, by your the prevailing circumstance. Don't define yourself with that. Still say what the Lord say you are. Hallelujah. I don't have money. Doesn't mean I am poor. Do you understand? You don't have money. Doesn't mean I am poor. That's not what it means. Look, I always like to joke in this. I say, you are just temporarily unable to dispense. Amen. Amen. So it's just a fleeting situation. It does not define you. It's changing. So despise the shame, but keep your eyes on the joy. Do you understand? Don't bother with it. Look away from it. Keep your eyes on the joy like Jesus did. Okay? Then number three, have faith in God. Keep your faith in God. Trust that God is able to save. Hallelujah. Trust. Put your complete, absolute trust in God. Have faith in God. When trials come, they target your faith. I've said that earlier. So, you know, in those times, you start hearing voices in your head. You start hearing how that, you're not good enough. How you deserved it. How it was you that caused it. How God has deserted you. How God doesn't love you. How nobody cares about you. How he exhausts you. How you. How that. Hallelujah. All those conversations is just, they are there for one assignment. Drain faith. Drain faith. Drain faith. So when your mind begins to go all of that, I was telling my sister this morning, I said, the battlefield is really in the mind. So I was making it, I said, see, God loves us so much, he has secured us all around. You remember that? I'll read that. But it says, just put that scripture for me. John chapter 16, the penultimate verse. I was telling her, I said, God has set things around us to make sure that we are safe externally. So he knows that the world is full of all dangers. He said to us, in this world you will face tribulations. Media, please, can you help me? That in this world you will face these tribulations. Go to the next. Yeah, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Put it in Amplified Classic. Let's read that. Amplified Classic. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. You face things. He said, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. Let's read. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Hallelujah. So on the exterior, although things will come against you, I have denied them of the power to hurt you. I have conquered the world for you. So that's how we got to what? We are overcomers. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I was saying, so God had done this securing on the outside, and yet he gave us the Holy Ghost on the inside. And he says, greater is he that is in you than the one that is outside. Yet there's been security has been made for those ones outside. You don't understand? Greater is he that is in you than the one that is outside, than anything you face on the outside. Yet I have deprived the world of whatever it is they have on that outside to hurt you. I said, so the problem is, that's why we now start having conversations in our mind. Are you sure you will not die? Hi, that brother you know died that assist you. You are now 55. Are you sure you will not die? Oh, your mother did this. Oh, your father, you know, they all of them had diabetes. Are you sure you will not have it? Oh, blood pressure. Oh, you know, all those things that come into your mind. The purpose is what? Drain faith. Take what God has already done, the victory you already have. He shuts your eyes from seeing it. Hagar was crying. No, that well was not manufactured at that time. It was always there. Do you understand? The well was there. She just didn't see it. Oh, she just didn't see it. She just didn't see it. And that brings me to my number four. Ask for light. Ask for light and wisdom. Say, Lord, help me see. Help me see. Somebody prayed. The lad prayed. And God had mercy on them. And said, Auntie, stop crying. Look. Do you understand? Look. So through the trials, through trying times, through whatever you will face, you are facing, understand. Ask God, show me. There's always a way of escape for you. You are just not seeing it. So ask for the way of escape. If you will see it, although you are still in the trying time, you will rejoice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. So when Satan starts telling you things in your mind, don't entertain it. I want to really make emphasis on that. Please don't entertain it. Don't entertain. When something happens, don't bring chair and start having conversation with Satan. Don't. As long as you know this thing that I'm thinking now is not what God will have me think. It's not what God is saying. Just run. Don't intercept it sharply. Don't stay there. That's how people get depressed. Before you realize it, you are so far gone. In the whining, in the complaining, in the thinking, in the worrying that is not achieving anything. Suddenly, there's no way. Everywhere is just blood. It's just blood everywhere. Hallelujah. So you ask the Lord for light. Psalm 13, 2 to 3. Psalm 13, 2 to 3. Quickly, quickly. Psalm 13, 2 to 3. Psalm 13, 2 to 3. That's ask for light and wisdom. How long? Verse 2, please. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Go ahead. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. So in the midst of things that will lead to death, enlighten my eyes. Let me see. Open my eyes to see. So make that prayer in a moment. Say, Lord, help me see. Help me see. Can you just say, Lord, enlighten my eyes. When my heart is troubled, enlighten my eyes. Let me see. Let me see. Let me see. Help me see. Help me see. Oh, Lord, help me see. in the name of Jesus Christ. When you read James chapter 1 from verse, of course, we read 2 to 4, how he says to count it all joy. When you read verse 5, he says, if any lacks wisdom, you should ask. So when you are going through something, you need wisdom out of that thing. You ask him. He said, if you ask, I will give. And he gives liberally. I am like, he gives joyfully. He gives liberally. He's not holding back. Glory to God. So ask the Lord, Lord, what is this about? What do I need to know? What do you need me to understand through this? Hallelujah. And then you just get to it. Lastly, number 5. Are you ready? Laugh. Woo! Laugh. 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 Imagine that Satan darts you his heaviest blow and just look at him and also now again. You laugh. You laugh. You laugh hard. Hallelujah. God is good. That's number 5. Laugh. Job chapter 5 verse 22. Job 5, 22. I'm rounding off. Job chapter 5 verse 22. Whoo. Hallelujah. Are we there? Media. Please, please, please. Thank you. Okay, thank you. James. No, not James. Okay, so Nami, I'm the one that is impatient, Abby. You shall laugh at destruction and famine. And you shall not be afraid of the beasts of the earth. So when destruction is coming, when lack is coming, when you see famine, the response is laughter. He said, you shall laugh at destruction. Should be destruction. It's something to start being strategic and planning how to. What's the way out? But scripture says, laugh. Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2. Can I read from verse 1 quickly? Psalms 1, chapter 2. Psalm 2. Woo! Glory to God. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, all of this is chaos, right? Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Number 4, let's read together. He who sits in the heavens, woo! He who sits in heaven shall laugh. Two ways to see that. God is sitting in heaven. Who else is sitting in heaven? Who else is seated? Who else is seated? Who else is seated? So when the heathens are raging, what do? You laugh. Glory to God. You are not laughing because you are crazy. You are laughing because you know many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. You laugh because you are about to see a measure of God you've not seen before. You are about to see a revelation of God you've not noticed before. You are about to see God's hand. You are getting out of the boat because it's about to be on record. You walked on water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Although the storm was boisterous, no, Jesus did not carry Peter on his back to the boat. They walked back into the boat on water. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's a classical example of the righteous falling and rising. You don't stay down. You don't sink. You never sink. Hallelujah. So we laugh at the face of trouble. You know, I listened to Pastor Andy also share a story about this lady, a lady in his church who was on a flight. And he says, while on that flight, you know how the airplane began to just, as though it was just going down. Everybody, you know how it is. Now everybody's there shouting, Jesus, oh, blood of Jesus, blood of Zechariah, blood of Nebuchadnezzar, blood of my village people. You pray every. Everybody was praying all kinds of things. And he said, the lady was sharing that there's this priest, you know, he had a collar, so that's how we She could identify that he was a priest. He was seated somewhere close to her in front of her. He said, while in the midst of all that chaos, this priest just stood up a bit. Guess what he did? Eh? As soon as he was done laughing, he sat down and the plane sat too. And I meant the plane sat still. Do you understand? You know, you've been wondering, what's that? The lady never forgot it. How? What does he know? What did he see? What did he see? What did he know? Do you understand that all the Jesus? Somebody just laughed. Can you laugh? It's free. You don't pay. Can you laugh? Can you laugh? See, remember something and laugh. Say, I'm about to see the hand of the Lord. I'm about to see the might of God. I'm about to see the deliverance of the Almighty. Because you know the deliverance is sure. There's an assurance of deliverance. I'm about to see his hand. I'm about to see that door open. I don't know how it's going to open. If it's going to be kicked down, I don't know. If it's going to be open, I don't know. If it's going to be broken down, I don't know. But the door will be open. So I'm going to see it open. I laugh. I rejoice. I celebrate what God is doing. Woo! Oh my God. We rejoice at what God is doing. We rejoice at what God is doing. So people look at you and say, you are crazy. You are crazy. You've not paid your children's school fees. They've even increased it. And you are laughing. And you are laughing. What's funny? What's funny? You tell me you don't understand. I don't see as you are seeing. You are seeing increase. I'm seeing abundance. I'm seeing abundance. You are saying that they're casting down. I am saying differently because I see differently. I say there's a lifting up because I see it. Glory to God. So storms is not meant to stop you. You are meant to soar. Soar. Do you know what the eagle, when there's storms, the eagle is, the eagle is happy. Let's just freestyle the same way. When there's storm, let's glide. Let's glide. Glory to God. Are you talking to the Lord? See, God is good. God is good. God is so good. When you read Ephesians 5 verse 18, let me just close there. The Bible says, do not be drunk wherein it is necessary, but do what? Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Me, I like to say it, be drunk with the Holy Ghost. That's what he's trying to assert. Be so full of it that you lose control of yourself. I'm trying to be happy. No, it's not. We're not trying to be happy anything. It's that the fruit of the Spirit is joy. It's joy. It produces it in you even in the midst of storm. Now, when a person is drunk, what do they do? How does a drunk person behave? Have you been drunk before? I know we are Jesus people. No, everybody here is Jesus people. We are not drunk. You've never been drunk in your life. Amen. But you see, drunk men, they are laughing at rubbish. They are laughing at serious things. They are laughing at car will blow horn. They are laughing. They fall into the gutter. They are laughing. They laugh. They laugh. What else do they do? Have you seen a drunk dancing to nothing? There's no music. What on our way? That is, he's dancing in the dancing his life out because he's hearing something in his head. The thing that is hiring him is singing for him now. Haven't you heard that he gives us song on our bed as we are sleeping? You wake up with a song in your heart, singing with joy. What do you do with it? You open your mouth and you start rolling with a song. You sing it. That thing that is singing for you, expect that you sing it out too. And you react to it, you dance. Don't say, no, today I'm down. I'm not even feeling well. No, that's your deliverance right there. That song that just welled out of your heart. Even if it's a known song, sing it with your life. That's the word of God for you. the word of God for you. Hallelujah. A drunk person will sing. Sing in tongues. Sing in the Holy Ghost. You are full or be full. Say, be filled with the Holy Ghost. You sing hymns, sing psalms, sing spiritual songs. Just exercise yourself in the Holy Ghost. See, by the time you are done, you don't even remember that there was a mountain before. Because that's how they be walking. Oh, was it a mountain? I didn't know. They're not seeing what you are seeing. We don't see as the world sees. Can you rise and talk to the Lord? Can you rise and talk to God? Can you rise and talk? See, some of us have even offended God going through trials. We have judged him unfaithful through situations that he's even using to give you that same testimony you are desiring. Can you talk to the Lord? Say, Lord, now I understand. Now I see that you are working in me, that you are refining me, that nothing works against me. Nothing works against me. I see it now, Lord. Nothing works against me. Lord, help me. I begin to act differently in the face of trials, in the face of situations. I walk differently. I understand that this dark time will produce. It will produce. It will produce great faith. It will produce perseverance. It will produce the will of God. It will get me aligned. It will make me braver. It will make me stronger. Oh, it will make me be a blessing to many others. Oh, manda vreda gasoli anamakanda labaha. Jebrandi kosovina hasele begedandus. Oh, nambrandi shakandi kasovadi galabaha. Ezevi susufana namahoshanta labaha. All things work together for the good of you who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Nothing works against you. Lord, open our eyes to see. Lord, open our eyes to see. Lord, open our eyes to see that our minds will conceive the things you are saying, the things you are doing in the name of Jesus. Oh, Mashaka, can you hold somebody? Just hold somebody. Say, Lord, strengthen my brother. Lord, strengthen my sister that they can rejoice in their trials. For it is with joy that he or she can draw waters from the well of salvation. Lord, strengthen my brother. Lord, strengthen my sister in the name of Jesus. Help us rejoice always. Help us rejoice always. Help us rejoice always. Help us rejoice always in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. If the Bible says rejoice always, it means we can rejoice always. It means we can rejoice always. Lord, teach us to rejoice always. Teach us, Lord. Empower us to rejoice always in the name of Jesus. Empower us, Father, to rejoice through storms. So when challenges come, we are looking at what is coming out of this. What is coming out of this? What chains are being broken? What new length are we going? What new length are we going? What new height are we attaining? What new height are we attaining? We can see. We can see. For the Namakapanele Katosia, because we are paying attention to what is coming out of this. Lord, empower us, oh God. Empower us, Father. Empower us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, so it doesn't matter how the year has gone, we laugh. We rejoice. We rejoice. We laugh. We give thanks. We give thanks. We put our absolute faith in God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We look for light. We search for wisdom, trusting the Lord in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, we give thanks. Thank you, Lord, for you are working in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Thank you, Lord, for you are refining our faith. You are building us up. We rejoice at your word as one who has found a great spoil today. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Hallelujah.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.